I'm not quite sure how I find myself up here, to be honest. This is something that's been on my heart for about a year, 18 months, and I shared it with Kath a few weeks ago. And for some reason, then she said, well, why don't you speak? And then for some reason I said, yes. And I find myself up here sharing what I believe as God has asked me to share. And the topic is a very simple one. We should all probably know what it means to be a child of... Is the projector on? Do I have to... Yeah. What it means to be a child of God. Very simple. We've probably heard this all before. What does it mean to be a child of God? God calls us to be his children. But there's a little bit more to it. A few weeks ago, Louise was sharing a particular topic, and I thought, that's really good for so-and-so to hear that topic. And it was an evening service, and a little bit know that God spoke to me, and I was needing prayer before I left the service. So I think if we all just open our hearts and let's let God challenge us and what he's got to say to us tonight. In that particular vein, I'm not saying that I'm an expert on this. It's almost like I'm looking in the mirror here. I'm actually speaking to myself more than I am to anybody else here. I haven't got all this sussed. But it's something that God is challenging me on to learn more about what it means to be his child. I'm going to start off with a story, a Christmas story. I know it's nearly over now, but I'm going to start a story about Secret Santa. You'll understand why, hopefully, when I get through the story. About 7 or 8 years ago, I was working for a large charity in Liverpool. In fact, working for that charity, and there's a whole backstory to that as to why. That's how we ended up living actually here on the Wirral in the first place. So God's got more plans than we understand. I was working for that charity, and when I joined, it was a great team. I've never worked anywhere that's been quite like that place, the camaraderie, the sense of purpose. And when I joined, the company I worked before, we did a Secret Santa. And so I said, do we do Secret Santa here? And they said, no. And I said, I think we ought to. And then someone said, well, you go and do it then. So I haven't learned the lesson now, have I, really? When you kind of suggest something and volunteers, you know, someone says, oh, God, well, you go and do it then. So for several years, I worked there for about 7.5 years. For 7 years, we did Secret Santa. And it worked really well. The idea was that you drew a name out of a hat and you bought a present or gift for that person worth about £10. And that worked really well. Every year it worked really well. One particular year, there was a bit of an issue. This one guy, I'll call him John. That's his name, actually, so it doesn't really matter. He's not going to hear this very well. It's unlikely he's going to hear this, but it doesn't matter anyway. I could tell that what we did was usually the last Friday at lunchtime, we went out for a meal. Before we went for the meal, we opened the presents. So there was all the presents under the tree. This particular year, I remember dressed up as Santa. There were actually pictures. I couldn't find them. I'm really sorry. I couldn't find the pictures. Anyway, this one particular year, there's this guy, John. I could tell he wasn't very happy. And I went to see after he'd opened the presents. And I went to see him and said, what's up, John? He said, well, what have you got? And he'd got this, he'd opened and showed me what it was. It was an Everton beaker. And he was an Everton fan, so I thought he should be quite pleased. He said it's only worth about £2 or £3. And we'd all agreed to spend at least £10 on a gift. And I thought, this is a bit odd. Someone's bought him a present. It's only worth £2, and we're all going to spend £10. And I said, I'll find out what I can do. So I actually went later on. We went for a meal and whatever. And I spoke to the lady. She's called Kath. That is her name as well. It doesn't matter. And I said, what did you actually buy, John? And he said, I bought him a gift voucher. Wouldn't seem very much because I bought him an Everton beaker as well, and I wrapped the voucher around the beaker, wrapped it all up, and gave it to him like that. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. He's opened the present, and he's thrown the gift voucher away. So I said, right, okay, I'll think about it. So the next first thing Monday morning, I went downstairs to the reception, and I said, can you do me a favor? Can you go and look in the bins? And this guy, he was on reception. He was very good, actually. He went and searched the bins, and we found the missing voucher. And so John was reunited with that voucher. He hadn't got just the £2 Everton beaker. He'd actually got the gift that he was due. The reason I mention this is because it has... God challenged me to talk about this because sometimes we don't realize what God has actually given us. We open the gift, we get the gifts that God has given us, and sometimes we throw away or ignore the crucial part of that gift that he's given us. So that's what I'm going to talk about hopefully tonight. That's hopefully makes sense as we go along. Turn it on. Rookie error. So I'm a bit organized, so I like to do my things in a bit of order. So these are the kind of five topics that I'll be going through. So you can decide when you want to fall asleep or when you want to wake up as you go through this. So the first one is, call yourself a Christian. Second is, what does God say? Third is, living loved. The fourth is, like our dad. And the fifth is, creation is waiting. Now, the next slide has a bit of an audio to start with, hopefully. And you'll hopefully, it's a bit unusual, but hopefully it'll make sense when... I had to get a football reference in there somewhere. Mikey approves. That's actually Tranmere fans shouting at Leeds fans. I'm a Leeds fan. That's Tranmere fans. And today I actually shouldn't be admitting I'm a Leeds fan, having us lost today. But the reason for I'm playing that is because so often we listen to the voice of the enemy too much. Well, the enemy's going, who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? That's what the football chant is. The opposition fans shouting at the other team saying, who do you think you are? And the enemy, I'm just going to get this out of the way at the very beginning. The enemy says too much to us. We listen too much to him as well. He says, call yourself a Christian. He says, how can you be a Christian? How can you be a child of God? Look at what you've done. Look at your family background or your lack of family background. He says to us, how can you be used by God? How can you call yourself a Christian and a child of God after what you've done, after what you've said, after what you've been? And do you know, it doesn't really matter. That's the important thing, that what God says is what's most important. That we focus sometimes and listen too many times to what the enemy says, that you can't do this, you can't be any good because this, because of that, because of what you've done. Because you haven't got the right background, you haven't got the right education, you haven't got the right upbringing. That doesn't matter. Jesus himself, he was born of a humble carpenter. So he had a humble background. He gave it all up, all his glory and majesty, to identify himself with us. And amazingly enough, he calls us to be his children, to be a child of God. So when the enemy says to us, call yourself a Christian, and we say, no. It's God who calls me. It's God who calls me a Christian. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. The final quote, this is a bit of, if you haven't seen The Last Jedi, I apologize for this, a slight spoiler. It's not too much of a spoiler. I do like Star Wars. I went to see it second time yesterday with my son Jack. There's one point, Rey is the female heroine. She's the new kind of leader of the Jedi. She's becoming a Jedi. And she has a bit of a conflict with Kylo Ren, who's the new supreme leader from the dark side, and she's trying to, throughout the film, she's trying to find out who her parents are. She doesn't know who her parents are. As far as she's concerned, she's an orphan, and she's trying to find out some significance in her life. Trying to find out, who are my parents? I must have some significance. And Kylo Ren says to her, they were just filthy junk traders who sold you off for drinking money. And that's the enemy says that to us. He says, you're no good. You're no good. You haven't got a good background. But it's not true. We don't listen to what the enemy says to us. So I'm going to talk a little about what God says. That's more important. There's a couple of verses here, and I'll read them out. John 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right. He didn't say, you might. He didn't say, there's a possibility if you're good enough, if you do the right things. He said he gave us the right to become children of God. And the next few verses is from Romans. Romans 8, verse 14 to 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. But rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are his children. We're fully adopted. He's not a foster parent or a temporary parent or someone just looking after us in the meantime. We are fully adopted. I'm not a Greek scholar, but apparently the word they're using in verse 15 for sonship, adoption to sonship, it refers to a full legal standing. In that time in the Roman Empire, that term means a full legal standing as a son, as if you were the son of the person to start with. Not that you've suddenly got different rights or inferior rights to the actual original children of that father. You actually have full legal rights. I was a year ago today was a really, really quite sad day for me. 2017 did not start well. I found out that my godfather had died on Christmas Eve last year. And this year, exactly ago today, I was actually, me and Ali were traveling down to South Wales to go to a funeral. And wow, it was quite an emotional time. And I'm sharing this because my godfather, he was a brilliant man. He was a vicar in the Church of England and then the Church of Wales. And it was a bit of a shock to think about this time last year was what happened. But he was a man who you walked into. I've shared this with the fellowship group before. He was the kind of guy you walked into a room and he made you feel like you were the most important person in that room. He had complete. He completely wanted to hear what was going on in your life. He wanted to know everything that was going on. He really, really did care. And several times when over the last 50 years, he's really helped me in certain ways. Just things where I'm not seeing him for a few months or years, I'll give him a call and I'll go down and see him. When the kids were young, we used to take the children down and we'd stay with my I call him uncle, stay with Peter and his wife Meg, and they'd make us feel like part of the family. It's like we were going along with our children, it's like we were part of that family. And my voice is going a little bit. And just before Christmas, this one just gone, I had a letter from his son, Alan. He had four children, lots of grandchildren. I can't remember how many he's got. And he'd left a small gift in his will to all of his godchildren. And I was like, whoa, it's only a small amount. But to me, wow, that was significant. You know, someone who's left, he'd actually thought about me. And I actually wrote back to Alan, I said, that's brilliant. But do you know what? I said in the letter, I said, knowing Peter for the last 50 years has been more of a gift than what he actually left me. And you know what? It reminded me of what God offers us, full adoption as his children. And Paul talks about, doesn't he? He talks about knowing Jesus is the most important thing. Knowing him is worth more than anything else. And that for me, that spoke parallels. My Uncle Peter was a very generous guy, but God is so much more generous. He's given us full adoption as his child into his kingdom, into his family, which is absolutely, absolutely amazing when we start to think about it and realize, and it sinks in. The final verse there talks about Abba, Father. It's not a, God wants us to be like his, to treat him like he's our dad, our daddy, not just a father who's remote, who's distant. He wants us to realize that it's an intimate relationship he wants with us. He wants us to be his children and to realize how much he actually loves us. Sorry, bear with me. Next slide. What does God say, part two? He wants us to be his children. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." God wants us to be really, really realize how much he loves us, that we're his kids. He wants us to come and sit on his knee. He wants us to come and be there with him. He says, if we don't, we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes, I don't know about you, my relationship with God is I try and be the parent. I try and sort it all out. I try and think, well, I've got a problem. I can sort that out. Sometimes God says to us, don't just try and sort it all out. Come to me. Let me try and fix things for you. Trust me to look for the answers. Don't try and do it all in your own strength. Something I'm learning is that God's more interested in the journey that we have with him, not in actually getting to the final solution. I don't know what you're like. I like to try and fix it. It's a problem. I want to sort it out. God's more interested in how we work with him to get towards that solution and how he's going to change things for us and change us in that process. This is one of the biggest challenges for me. Living loved. Do we believe that God loves us? Do we live as if he loves us? That's the biggest challenge. Or do we live in fear of what might happen? Our behavior sometimes, and our sin, and our bad habits are not worthy of the King of Kings, of whose child we are. I feel God is asking us to learn what it means to live loved, to realize how much he loves us and to let that sink in from here in our heads down into our hearts. And I'm speaking to myself here as much as anybody else, that we need to learn how much he loves us, and that change our hearts and our experiences. It may be because we don't have a good experience of family, of a good experience of a father. But God wants us to know that we are children of the Most High. That the verse there, Romans 8:12, we are children of the Most High God. He's our Abba, Father. He's our dad. There's an intimacy involved there. With his children, his kids, he wants to hang around with us. He wants to hang around with us. Psalm 139, I won't read it all out. You can read that yourself. Psalm 139 talks about God knowing everything about us, and yet he loves us anyway. That's one of the most amazing truths in the Bible. He knows all about us, and yet he loves us anyway. My final quote in this particular section. It's from The Shack. Some of you will love the book, some of you will hate the book, some of you will love the movie and have seen it, and some won't. It's a very controversial book and a very controversial movie. God is portrayed in very different ways. And there's one particular point where God the Father, Papa, is portrayed as a large black lady and having various conversations with Mac, who's the main person in the story. And there's several lines in the movie that stand out to me. This line stands out the most when Papa says, "I am especially fond of you." That's something that we need to learn as children of God, as the church, that God is especially fond of us. We use the word love very, very frequently, almost in a hand-off, casual way. God wants us to know, wants you to know, that he's especially fond of you today. He's especially fond of you this year, and he loves you and he cares for you. That's just what I want someone to leave to think about. Am I making some sense? I hope this is useful. We're children of God, but we're called to be like our dad. Now, a lot of people say that I actually look and I act like my real dad. He's actually got more hair than I've got, which is a bit unfortunate. But God calls us to be like him. When we become Christians, he gives us a new spiritual DNA. And as we live as children of God and become more like him, he renews us. He changes us from the inside. But the challenge is, he's the King of Kings. He's Almighty God. And he calls us to be like him. Our destiny, our calling is to be like him, to be a kid of the king. But he's also the servant king. And he challenges us, and he challenges me, and he challenges you to become like him in that aspect as well. I'm going to share a bit of a personal story now. I was encouraged to, Heather, a few weeks ago, she shared a real personal story about her granddad. And this is a real personal story for me. I don't know about you, but my life isn't actually perfect. We all try and come to church and think, you know, you always think their life is really good. They've got it sussed. They've got no problems. Everything's going really well. They're healthy, everything else. None of us have got it all sussed. None of us have a perfect life or have everything going perfect. Paul talked in Corinthians. I'm going to read this out, 2 Corinthians 12. "I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Some of you may know, or some of you may not know, some of you know me well, I've got an eye condition, so I have to keep watching. I don't end up falling off this stage here. So if I get too close to the edge, do tell me. I don't want to end up falling over. In fact, Christmas Eve, usually the church is quite good for me. It's quite well lit. I can't see very well in the dark at all. And I walked in the church on Christmas Eve. It was really atmospheric. It was lovely. I couldn't see a thing. I walked. Mikey knows how bad my eyesight is now because I walked straight into Mikey. I was diagnosed with an incurable eye disease 16 and a half years ago. And I don't share about this very much. And it's not something that, you just want to spend a lot of time talking about because it's not always that positive. And at the time, it was pretty darn devastating. I lost my driving license. I had a job where I was driving a lot. And ended up having to change things quite dramatically. I ended up actually changing career because I felt like God was calling me to do something. I was working in IT at the time for a sales company who were making lots of money out of what I did. I felt God called me to use my skills to do something different. I ended up going working for 7.5 years for RNIB, a national charity, which I mentioned before in Liverpool. and I had a great time, one of the best places I've ever worked. And the reason I mention that is because, you know, sometimes God can use our circumstances for his good. There's a common saying, excuse me, I got my water. When life gives you a lemon, go and make some lemonade. My wife, Ali, she's going to kill me now. She's got a better one than that. She says, when life gives you a lemon, go and get some gin and tonic. I'm going to pay for that later, aren't I? Do you know what? I don't find any of those verses in our Bible. But there is a verse in there. Romans 8:28, and this sticks with me a lot, has done for many years. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, and it carries on, and who have been called according to his purpose. God works for the good of all those who love him. So no matter whether you've got a thorn in the flesh that Paul talks about, whether you've got issues in your life, God can use those. And I stand here as someone who can testify to that over the last 16 years. I actually left RNIB, the charity, in 2010. But since then, I've actually been, some of you will know, I'm a volunteer for another charity related to my eye condition. And I'm on a helpline. And we have two helplines. There's a phone helpline where people can ring up and ask for advice and support. And I work on the email helpline. People email and say, I've got this eye condition or I've got this issue. Can you give me some advice? I've been doing that for 6 years. Yeah, 6 or 7 years. And that's been absolutely fantastic. God has given me an opportunity there to actually use my experiences, to use my knowledge and my background to help people on that particular journey and give them advice and support. And through all, you know, it's not, when you do things and God says, what about doing this? And you do things, you actually get more back than you actually give out. Because the people I've met through the helpline, we're all over the country. We meet up once a year and we share ideas and stuff. They are an amazing bunch of people. I was sharing with Heather, I think, in the summer when I came back, and I said, wow, I had a great weekend. Because they're just so encouraging. They're going through issues. They don't let it get them down. They actually are there to try and help and encourage other people who are experiencing the same issues. And we were living, when I was diagnosed with my eye condition, we were living near Stockport in south of Manchester. Never in a million years did I think I'd be in West Kirby. Never in a million years did I think I'd be standing up here talking about this. But God does things and he moves in different ways that we don't quite understand, doesn't he? And God is faithful. When I first got diagnosed with the eye condition, I thought, I'm going to lose my job. How am I going to work? How am I going to do X, Y, Z? All the fears that come to your mind. And we talked about before, we're children of God, and sometimes fear gets into our hearts, doesn't it? God is calling us to say, don't be afraid. I am faithful. And over the last 30 years, since I first started work after university, I've had six weeks where I've been unemployed. So God has been very faithful. Sorry, I've digressed a little bit. I didn't kind of, I'm going to stick to the script exactly. So God can use our circumstances. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And I'm not sharing that to say how good I am. I'm sharing to say how faithful God has been to me in what's happened in the last 16 years for me and Ali and the family. Finally, creation is waiting. Romans 8, verse 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. God calls us to be his children, but there's a broken, broken world out there that's waiting in expectation to see us, to see his children, to see his church revealed. A lot of commentators, I've read some of the background, some of the commentators of this verse say saying it's all about the future when Jesus comes back, and that's when the children of God are really going to be revealed. But there's lots of other commentators saying, no, it's about us, children of God, being revealed to the world and to creation now. Jesus talks, doesn't he? He talks a lot about the kingdom of God is coming. Kingdom of God is coming, but he also says the kingdom of God is here now as well. So the challenge to me, the challenge to us, is if we're going to stand up and be the children of God that God has called us to be. It's a challenge I ask myself every day. Am I living like the child of God that God has called me to be? Am I being the child of God that creation is waiting and needing? We've got a broken world out there that needs to see the people of God as the people of God in the power that God has given to us. So I'm coming to the end, going through the five different sections. I hope I haven't talked too quickly, and I hope I've made some sense. I'm going to summarize. When I started talking to Kath about it, I didn't realize it was going to be the first kind of service of the year, of the new year, but it seems appropriate. And my challenge to us and to myself, in 2018, let's not listen anymore to the enemy and to his lies and what he says and the way he puts us down. Let's believe what God says about us. Let's believe that we are the children of God that God has called us to be. We are children of God, loved by our Father. He has adopted us as full heirs to his kingdom. He is especially fond of us. He's got great plans for us in 2018. We need him to help us to live loved. We need to ask him. I feel like all the time I'm saying, God, show me what it means to be loved by you. Show me how much you really love me so I can actually understand that and appreciate that and live as if you are who I believe you are. And he's making us like him day by day. He's changing us from the inside out. He's making us just like him. And finally, creation is waiting. The broken world out there is waiting for us, the children of God, to be revealed. 2018, let's be the children of God that God is calling us to be. Let's just pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for the promises and the great inheritance that you've given us. Thank you, you've called us to be your children. Thank you, we don't let them listen to the lies of the enemy anymore. That we don't have to be afraid, that we actually are truly loved by a God who came to heal us, to draw us out of this broken world, but who also called us to make a difference to the world. Lord, will you help us to understand and to know what it means to live as your children? Will you take the message from our heads into our hearts and into our actions that we know and live as you've called us to be, Lord? Help each one of us here this week, this year, to understand a little bit more each day what it means to be your children. Help us to see the people who come across our paths each day, and help us to act like your children to the people in this broken world out there, Lord. Will you do this, Lord? Will you help us to realize that creation is waiting and you have a great purpose for us, for your church and for your children? In Jesus' name. Amen.